So on Thursday, I called Glee, who read so beautifully. And I said, Glee, I have not a clue where I'm going with this text. I was clear from the beginning with our 40 is Enough Lenten series that this was one of the texts to be preached. I was clear. Even pick the anthem that you just heard with this text in mind. See, I had already figured out how I was going to do this. I was going to take that first verse and put it in Noah's mouth. When the boat is wheeling and rocking and Noah has no control, Noah was supposed to say, Lord, we cry to thee for help. Only thou can heal our pain. And then in the dramatic turn of my sermon, I was going to take the second verse and put it in the mouths of those who were outside of the ark. We have sinned against thy law. We have failed to do thy will, disobeyed thy holy word. O Lord, have mercy on us still. And then in the turn that I really like to make, you know I do this every third sermon, I was going to ask Anne, what about us? And in our mouths, I was going to put, purge our soul of selfishness, cleanse our hearts of bitterness, lead us back to righteousness. O Lord God, save us still. I figured it out. It's going to be an easy sermon to preach. So last Monday, I pulled out my notes, pulled out the hymn, the anthem. Nothing. By Thursday, nothing. And I kept picking up the text. I kept reading it over and over. I have over 40 Bibles at home. My office is a mess at home because there are Bibles everywhere. I read from chapter 5 where we find the genealogy and we know to whom Noah was born. And I kept reading and all of the themes that I could think of to process just wouldn't work. There's the happy theme where we have just the rainbow in the sky. That's the happy theme. The theme where we sing Noah, build an arky, arky, you know that song. That's the happy theme. And then we get the, I have to square this with science theme. I don't believe in this story because I can't find proof of a worldwide flood. So it's just myth. And then there's the blind faith theme. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. I'm not even going to read about all of these people because the word says he blotted out all of creation. That means everybody died. I don't like that, so I'm not going to pay attention. Or the fourth theme, that I really don't like this text theme. Because I don't know what to do with a God who seems so capricious that he would cause it to rain and creation that he made 5 chapters earlier and called very good is now gone. I don't like that one. I don't, nope. Too many dead bodies floating around. Don't. I had lunch on Friday with 5 other ministers. I looked at them and said, have any of you all ever preached the flood? And they went to their menus, to their glasses of iced tea. Jackie Belial, one of them, emailed me Friday and said, I'm suffering with you as you seek to preach this sermon. Yesterday, pray for Andre, because when I don't have a sermon by about noon on Saturday, I am not fit for human company. I ran the man out of the house. And I knew my family was arriving at about 4, and I couldn't run them out. No sermon at 4 o'clock. Last night, I sat, and there's a fabulous website called Bible.is where it will read the text aloud to you. And so I turned it on. I sat at my desk just like this. And I listened again. But you know what God said in my heart? I don't hear audible voices. What I heard so clearly was, Sina, you can't get this going because you keep bringing you to the text. You keep bringing your preconceived notions of what this text says. You're so full of what you think is right, you can't hear what I want you to have. Listen. My story, not yours. Listen. And so sitting at my desk last night, listening to Bible.is from chapter 5 to chapter 9, I got it. Or at least I got this. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being the creator of something fabulous? Something that has never existed before. You, with your being and your thoughts and your hands, have created something that's never existed before, and it is perfect. It is so beautiful that all you can say of it is, ah, this is very good. And you infuse it and you invest in it everything that you have. And for a little bit of time, it moves forward in Eden-like perfection. And then that which you created chooses to walk away from everything you've asked it to do, which is only not to eat from a single tree. That which was perfect has chosen its own way instead of the way of the Creator and has marred the creation so much so they are banished. And then just a few verses later, those who are banished bear children, and those children murder each other. And then just a few verses later, someone else named Lamech stands up and says, I'll kill anybody who crosses my path or gets on my nerve. You're watching this creation done in perfection, done in beauty, just fraying itself into almost nothingness. If that had been you, or me, and that which we had done was falling apart, like it says in Genesis 6 about God, our hearts might be broken. What I heard sitting at my desk in the middle of the night last night was, read again chapter 6 verses 6 and 7. I say three times in those two verses, my heart is broken and I am grieved. The broken heart of God, if your heart was broken or my heart was broken, given that we're made in God's image and likeness, we might have some capacity to imagine God's grief, and then God begins to cry. What if the fountains that opened were not just the fountains of waters, but the fountains of divine tears? What if the fountains that were open and wept from the windows of heaven for 40 days was God's brokenheartedness? I love you so much, I cannot let you keep going this way. I love you so much, and I know I'm going to say in the letter to the Romans that even your death won't separate you from me. So I need to wash this world with my tears, and I need to start again. But I still didn't know what to do with that. I could imagine that, but I was still stuck. And then in the 8th chapter of Genesis, for the first time in the biblical writ, for the first time, the word remember gets offered. God remembered Noah. I went scurrying last night. What does that mean, God? God remembered that he had created in perfection and that it could come again. God remembered what it was like to stoop down and scoop up clay and create humankind. And God thought, I can invest that again. God remembered what it was like to blow breath into the living soul of a human body and know what it was like to have someone who would walk with him in the cool of the evening and who would speak with him at the dawn of the day. God remembered that relationship with humankind and longed for it again. And God remembered Noah. And by remembering Noah, God remembered. God put back together that which had once been created in perfection. God remembered Noah. And then God remembered a second time. God remembered and said, I will never do this again. And so I won't forget. Be clear about this. The rainbow's not for us. Go back and read that in chapter 9 again. God says, I'm going to put the bow in the sky so that when I, the divine self, see it, when I, the creator of all that has been created, when I, who once had a heart so broken, I cried for 40 days and blotted out the earth, I'm going to put a bow in the sky so I will remember how much I love you. So I will remember my intimate covenant with you. So I will remember that I never want to be so brokenhearted again that I would drench the earth with my tears. I put a bow in the sky so that the divine heart will remember and be encouraged. 40 days. 40 days is enough for God's heart to break and for God to remember. To remember that you and I and all of creation was created in love and for partnership, for covenant partnership that will never again be broken. You and I were created by a divine hand that said, once I did this, but never again, because I want to remember how important you are and how much I love you. In fact, I want you to know that nothing will be able to separate you from my love. I want you to know that. I want you to know that I value you, that I trust you. And be very clear, if you keep reading in chapter 9 beyond what I asked Glee to read, you'll find that Noah's first act, the one that God remembered, the one that God reinvested in, the one that God gave the ability to start again the human race, the first thing Noah does is build an altar, and the second thing he does is get drunk. Noah's not perfect. God remembers us not because we're perfect. God remembers us because God can perfect us. And it is a process that takes every ounce of our living, every breath that we make. But as we come into the presence of this God who remembers us, every step we take in sync with His will and His way, every time we come and confess our sin, every time we ask Him to do what we asked in the hymn, to purge us of our bitterness, to save us again, every time, every step is a moment of perfection. Of perfecting. 40 days. 40 days it rained. But that story isn't about Noah. Noah never changed. He was obedient from the beginning, and he was obedient when they came out of the ark. That story is about God choosing to remember us and to promise for the rest of time memorial. To hold us in the divine heart such that nothing will separate us. Beloved, 40 days is enough. 40 days is enough for us to remember. When we have gone astray, when we have boldly sinned, 40 days is enough for us to remember that God loves us. When we have been sinned against, when we have had the world fall on us and cannot see our way forward, 40 days is enough to remember that God said, I will be with you always till the end of the earth. When we cannot understand what's swirling around us like those waters swirled around the ark, 40 days is enough to know that God has said, now you know in part, but there's coming a day when you're going to be fully known. 40 days is enough that no matter what befalls us or what we cause, to hear God's promise, my love is ever present. To hear God's promise, I will not destroy again. To hear God's promise, for God so loved the world. 40 days is enough. If we will hear the stories of God as part of a grand story that begins in perfection, that comes through the perfect one, Jesus, and is leading us to perfection still. That's the good news. And 40 days is enough for us to wrap our arms around it, struggle with it, and I pray, God, believe. A children's story, but so powerful. Our closing hymn, a children's song, but so powerful. Jesus loves me. This I know. Beloved, if you know that the God who remembers us, remembers you, then that love in the midst of this 40-day season of Lent and beyond is enough.